Hey everybody, and welcome back. It's Nick, your host for this week's episode of Geekable Podcast, the geekiest show in this reality dedicated to hosting passionate people, discussing our excitement for comics old and new, what's hot in the industry, and of course, all things MCU. If you enjoy this show, please hit that subscribe or follow button so you don't skip a beat. Now, to kick off today's episode, we have longtime friend, advocate of Geekable, one of the best Instagram accounts that we've just kind of grown up with here in the little ecosystem of comic book and MCU accounts and all that good stuff. We have Cole Daniel here. Many of you have probably remember Cole from previous episodes, like I said, but he is the showrunner for the Masters of Comic Books. So Cole, it's great to have you back. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. Thank you so much for having me on. It's always a delight to be on your guys' show.
Yeah, no, it's always a delight having you on. You've actually been, I was looking at the numbers today, you've been here for some of our most played episodes, actually. I think the last time we had you on, which was scary, we haven't talked in a while, but like we said, you know, the other day over the phone, but you came on for our like top comics 2 years in a row for comics for the year, you know, usually around December. We do a little Eisner award
thing. Geekable Awards.
Yeah, the Geekable Awards. Yeah. And usually come and bless us with DC knowledge, indie knowledge, all that good stuff. Marvel knowledge.
I got you.
Yeah. Yeah. No. So I'm glad to hear you've been doing well. Your page has been growing. You're running some podcasts of your own. I always appreciate talking with you because you just have such a firm and grounded understanding of modern comics today. You're constantly reading what's coming out. You have a pretty big pull list, a variety as well. It's not like you're pretty streamlined to one thing. You know, some people I feel like they collect, they're reading just the Batman books or just the Spider-Man books. You have a pretty wide breadth of comics that you read, which I've always appreciated about you and why I've held you to such a high pedestal.
You're giving me such praise. I do not deserve this.
No, you do. It's always great talking to someone. And I speak highly because I feel like there's not too many of us out there these days that have a weekly pull list, read it every week. It's a wide variety. We're out there, no doubt. But I always appreciated that about you. So I will chill with the praise. Let's get on to the discussion. I guess as of now, I have no other option than to start the episode just saying, let's just kind of talk comics for a little bit, right? There's a lot going on.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, that's why you're here, right? I mean, go back to the text. You're the go-to comic guy for this stuff. Let's talk. You and I haven't talked in a while, so this is a very real conversation, I feel like, that we're having. So, you know.
No prep.
yeah, no prep. I like it like that, though. So I guess, as a whole, you know, what are some of the best books you're reading right now? Let's just have an open conversation. I'd love to hear about what you're enjoying, maybe what you're, obviously not every comic series is a hit, maybe some that you're not reading or you don't like or enjoy. Mm-hmm. Kick off the conversation with what you have been liking.
There's so much I've been liking. I'm very fortunate that I am able to afford some of the comics that I do buy, and I always try to keep a good wide range of everything. That way I can, like you mentioned, not just focus too much on one certain character or one certain superhero and stuff, but right. I always do my best to try and keep an open mind with a lot of things. But honestly, DC Comics has really become one of my favorites as of right now. Marvel just right now seems like a mess with no guidance, which is kind of an unfortunate. It's so bad because DC, I there's just tons of books. I'm loving at DC. I'm loving everything Superman. I mean, like, it is perfect to be a Superman fan right now with DC Comics. I mean, you have Action Comics with Philip Kennedy Johnson, Superman with Joshua Williamson, that's great. There was a fun little mini with Superboy by Kenny Porter. There's just so much stuff to enjoy right there. Batman comics are really good with Chip Zdarsky.
Yeah, that's been really good. I've been loving Chip Zdarsky on Batman so much.
When can Zdarsky do wrong? Am I right?
Yeah, I know. Honestly, it's at that point now. I mean, his Daredevil was awesome. Loved the first issue of Saladin Ahmed and Aaron.
I'm glad
Cooter's
you enjoyed
Daredevil.
It. I really enjoyed it as well. I thought it was a great continuation of Zdarsky's run while still making it their own and still telling a really nice story with Daredevil. There's a lot of questions that remain unanswered, but I think that's what's supposed to entice readers to come back. And plus, I love Daredevil as a priest.
Me too. I love that.
That is such a great idea. I love that.
I know. Me too. Me too. I mean, Aaron Cooter's artwork was awesome. I thought the pacing was great for the issue. I mean, I still love Elektra being Daredevil as well.
I hope that remains just for a very long time, honestly.
Yeah, me too.
If that changes, I mean, I'm okay with it, but I would much prefer if that is the way how Daredevil will be for the years to come.
Yeah, years to come. I agree with you on that. And there's really no need to change it. I think Elektra needed sort of like a change up. For those of you who aren't aware, Elektra is Daredevil now. For all intents and purposes. How did you feel the one? It's not criticism about the issue, but going back to Daredevil number one, do you think they could have left Matt Murdock without realizing he's Daredevil for a few more issues?
That's what I was expecting. I think that's what I was expecting at first. It is a little rushed because near the end of the issue, I mean, he already is wearing his classic suit again. Plus, it looks great on the looks great on page, but like, yeah, I was expecting it at least maybe like an arc or something, but he doesn't have his entire memories fully back though.
Right. Not fully back. I'm not criticizing the issue. I thought it was very, very strong. I was just, I just thought that, it would last a little longer given the events that led him to that, I guess. But overall, I thought it was very good.
It almost looks like it's going to be like one of those series that's going to, which looks like Marvel's doing a lot right now as of late, kind of doing those like monster of the week stories, which I love that kind of style, but that's just what it seems, or at least how the first issue ended. That's how it kind of seems the direction that Ahmed and Cutter are going to be going. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Could you just elaborate a little bit? I'm sure I understand what you mean, but as far as the like the monster of the week.
Oh, monster of the week. Oh, yeah. So what I'm kind of meaning is like there's one like specific villain for each issue. So like monster of the issue, I guess. And then there's
so like how Fantastic Four is right now, like usually like
yes,
two
exactly
issues
like
max.
That.
Yeah. I love that. I'm not a huge fan of it. To be totally honest, I know you're loving Fantastic Four. I'm liking it. I'm liking it. I'm not loving it. I'm liking it. I'm buying it. And I look forward to reading it every week. I'm not loving it, I guess.
Is it because of North's approach with it?
Honestly,
it's interesting because it doesn't feel like a big team book. Does that make sense?
No. I agree. It actually, and it doesn't feel like, I think it's ambitious. I agree. And I like that this happened. I like that this happened and North came in and said, we're just going to go Twilight Zone with it. Every issue is going to be like one story, you know, maybe it'll bleed into a second book as well. I like that. It's just, I don't know. There's something about it. I you know what though? I just like the Fantastic Four being fully embedded in the Marvel universe. And that's not what this book is. So it's just like not for my preference. Like
that's honestly,
you know,
what everything feels like at Marvel right now.
Yeah, Marvel's a bit of a mess right now. A little bit. It just feels a little messy. Like, I mean, look at the Venom event, right? For those of you listening, I have like air quotations
don't get
going
me
up.
Started
right
on
now.
Stupid Venom and symbiote shit, dude. I don't see the appeal. Like, I'm loving the current Venom series. I mean, of course, Al Ewing's right now.
Loving?
So I'm
would
really
you go as far as to say loving it?
It, like, took a while to finally find its footing. And I think
it did.
That was kind
Holy
of...
Holy crap, it did.
But I think that's all because editorially, it was not put together well. if they like, I like how like Rumpy is going to be focusing on Dylan Brock, and then Al Ewing was going to do Eddie Brock with like the his, so Al Ewing played to his strengths with like the whole sci-fi and mindfuck of everything. And then you have Rampy kind of doing what he's really good with, like the psychological grounded thriller sort of deal. The problem is it doesn't work if you do it on the exact same series. You get what I mean?
Yeah, I do get what you mean.
Well, because that's how it was, because it was always like split up.
Oh, like, I see what you're saying. Yeah. I'm like, not a huge believer in that system, to be honest.
Oh, I don't think it works. I think that's what ruined that Venom series, because it made the pacing weird. It made it like, because you didn't almost know what to expect, even though you had it said like who's writing which issue and stuff, and it just made the tone off. And then like once Al Ewing finally kind of took over and Ram V left, I mean, Ram V right now, he has a exclusive contract with DC Comics, which is great with me because he's currently writing Detective Comics, which that's like a operatic sort of story that I'm thoroughly enjoying.
But he's once dark Ewing, too. Ram V is horror and darkness.
He's really good. When I read his writing, it's the narration is what really gets me. Like he's so like the way his words just like really entice me. Whatever.
You know who I feel strongly about that, who you're describing right now, is Benjamin Percy. He writes like a novelist. Yeah, he writes kind of
well,
like,
he is a novelist.
He is. Yeah, and it shows, like, to me, he writes like a novelist. I really kind of like that. I do have my problems with him a little bit, but overall, when you look at pen to page, how he's putting the story together, it feels like a novel. It reads like it, too, how descriptive he is. You know, I don't know if you're reading Ghost Rider, which is definitely a top three series for me right
now. I'm really enjoying Ghost Rider. I think that's one of Marvel's current underrated series right now.
Oh yeah.
And it does a really good job with the horror aspect of Ghost Rider.
Yes, 100% nails it. And I think he uses Ghost Rider sparingly too. Like it's not just like Ghost Rider the entire time. I'd say it's mostly Johnny Blaze. Then Ghost Rider will come out, which I like because it keeps me wanting more. I think he does that pretty well. But I mean, Ghost Rider has nothing to do with anything in the Marvel Universe for the most part. I like that. And it makes sense for the Rider to be like that. Going back to what we were, you know, our preliminary point with Fantastic Four, I really like when the Fantastic Four are part of the Marvel Universe. I usually read X-Men, Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, and the Avengers, because it all has to do with things going on in the Marvel landscape.
No, it doesn't. Or at least it doesn't feel like it.
It doesn't.
Everyone's sort of like in their own little bubble.
Yeah. Yeah. Even the Avengers. I mean, let's talk. Jed McKay, we both love him. Jed McKay right now, for those listening, the writer of Moon Knight, Doctor Strange, now the Avengers. He's writing three books simultaneously. I think I nailed them all right. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he has anything else going on right now.
No. He's not. I like his Avengers. You can definitely tell that it's twice a month, because the last issue was just them sort of fighting the entire time. There really wasn't much plot movement. I think that it's coming. I do. I think that the Avengers is going to be great. Jed McKay's awesome. I don't think his Avengers is off to like the strongest start. What are your thoughts?
I think it's once we finish this first arc that he has, which I think we'll probably have like two issues later, we might finish the first arc.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure on that, because I think we're on issue five comes out next
week.
But so far, I think it's doing pretty well. It's doing a really great job, I think, of the introducing a new villains that he created, which I find very reminiscent of Jonathan Hickman's Black Order, but this has nothing to do with Thanos. But I'm liking what he's doing here, and I think it just seems like it. I don't know. It to me, I'm enjoying it, and I really like CF Villa's art in it too. I think he's really stepped up their game since they started with Black Cat, but I love the team. And I love, yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, that's good. I hard disagree with you. You and I have talked about this on CFV's art for Avengers compared to Black Cat. It blows my mind, dude. I almost feel wrong because I just don't, if I remember, maybe I'm wrong and Ciavia was a different artist. And like maybe I'm remembering Ciavia being on a break for an issue in Black Cat and there was another artist on it. I almost feel like that could be the case right now. Cause there's, I almost want to send you pictures. I don't know if it's the colors. That's what War Lion said. I told him that and he was like, I think it's the colorist. So maybe you're right that it's the color artist, but
I love the colorist of the book though. Federico Blee is outstanding. Cause I think he's also doing X-Men Red, which has also been a good looking book, no matter what, who's the artist on there.
Yeah.
I just happen to see their name on a lot of books.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. X-Men Red right now, probably has the strongest issue of the year, which is X-Men Red 5 when Uranus came to.
Oh yeah.
That's probably my favorite issue of the year, honestly.
This year? Judgment Day was so far. I thought Judgment Day was in 22.
Shit, was it? Wait, really?
Yeah.
I might be right. You might be right. Time flies. Yeah, I think you're actually correct on that.
Yeah, Judgment Day started last summer, not this summer.
No, last summer, which means, it was 2022. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Speaking of X-Men Red, I think that book is going to be short-lived. I think it's going to be cut soon. Who is it?
Well,
Al Ewing has four titles.
So Fall of X is going to be, like, did you see the Marvel announcement of, like, the end of House of X and the rise of Powers of X or something? It just came out today.
Holy crap. Wait, seriously?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, is it on Marvel's Instagram?
Yeah, they also came out with another post called Avengers Twilight that's going to be written by Chip Zdarsky and Daniel Cunha.
Holy crap. I missed this. I was so busy at work all day. For those of you listening, I literally got out of work. Cole is like basically out of work and I'm we're on top of this. That's awesome. So yeah, Avengers Twilight. It says, behold the final days of Earth's mightiest heroes in Avengers Twilight. Learn about Chip Zdarsky and Acuna starting new vision for the Avengers. Okay.
Yeah, that one and the X-Men one, they're going to be revealing more details at New York Comic Con next October. Mm-hmm.
Or Jerry next Dugan month. And Kieran Gillen. Yeah. The final battle of the X-Men's Krakoan Age begins in Fall of the House of X and Rise of the Powers of Ten. See, I am excited, I guess. The thing about the X-Men stuff, you know how they broke it up from like Dawn of X, then whatever came after that, then Destiny of X.
Reign of X was the second
one. Yeah, Reign of X. It just sort of,
It's a mess.
Kind of dragged. Yeah.
This is what happened. They had this extremely well launch in 2019 with Hickman's Hox Pox. And then they had some pretty good launch titles with Excalibur, Marauders, Hickman's X-Men.
Right.
Remember the other ones. And then COVID happened. And I think that halted things and fucked everything up.
Right.
And then I think just some behind the scenes crap was probably happening and Hickman.
Yeah.
And Hickman left, and that led them to like, oh shit, what are we gonna do now? And so like now, I mean, there, unfortunately, when it comes to comics in the last couple of years, there'll always be like that little stint of within runs that'll be known as like the COVID year or something like that.
I mean, man, that was a tough time. We had no comics coming out. Everything was a mess. Hickman left shortly after that. It seemed like he didn't leave on the best of terms with the X office. I am not huge on the X office. We interviewed Jordan D. White like half ago. Yeah.
Wow.
And it was good. It seemed he just I don't know. He seemed like he had sort of a lack of vision a little bit. Like he didn't know what how he answered us about Hickman. It didn't make me think there was like a huge plan. Might have just been the vibe or how he answered it. But I remember being like, huh, okay, that's a funny way to answer. I remember what it was. I asked him, I was like, yeah, so Hickman left, you know, will he be back? And Jordan D. White said something along the lines, I would have to go back and listen to the episode to quote him on that, but he said something along the lines of like, yeah, you know, Hickman wrote some great stories for us. You know, hopefully he can return one day. And he said something after that. And I was just like, oh, okay. Okay, interest. It just didn't seem like there was like faith that, I don't know, just a clear vision of what was going to happen. And I think Destiny was kind of like that.
Well, like, I think the problem was, I mean, like, when you leave on wrong terms or if you just leave it all, that's when you really have to, because I mean, if anything, Jonathan Hickman was the one that was quote unquote the, maybe not the full-on editor, but he was the one practically running the show. And right. Then I mean, no offense to Jordan D. White, great man, he's
absolutely
really yeah. cool, and he's helped out with a lot of great books, but I feel like he doesn't have, maybe not the vision's the right word, but I feel like he's probably not the best editor when it comes to something this extravagant like the Krakoa era for mm-hmm. X-Men.
I think Marvel, I don't really love any Marvel editors right now that much.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question. Did you see how Tom Brevoort is going to be taking over at the X office?
No, I didn't. Oh, yes, I did hear about this yesterday. This is fresh news to me. Yeah, someone brought this to my attention. Yeah, which is wild to me. That's wild to me.
Well, with this fresh in your mind, I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Brevoort, he's been around for a while. Like, Clone Saga, is where he came up.
Yeah.
But, like, he did all of Bendis's Avengers. He did all of Hickman's Avengers. He did like iconic stories, whether they're controversial or bad,
absolutely,
or critically
look
bad.
I agree with you. I'm gonna take your question here, and I'm mm-hmm. not dodging the question. I'll get to a yes and no in a second. I lost a lot of faith. You're gonna. I know you feel this way. I know what you're gonna say because mm-hmm. we've talked about it before, and that's fine. I respect your opinion, but I know you also understand that like 95% of everybody else didn't like it, and you know you're the minority.
Aaron's Avengers.
Jason Aaron's Avengers was, I did not like it, just like, again, like 95 to 98% of everybody else. You were pretty much the only person I know who liked it, and Tom Brevoort was
It is not extravagant, but it's still enjoyable.
You don't have to defend it. I mean, if you like it, you like it. I thought it was a shitty freaking book, but holy crap, I and so many other people finished it, and we were just like, thank Christ that's over. Tom Brevoort was behind that. I don't know what's going on in that guy's head, because if you compare, answer me this, riddle me this, okay. Batman, if you have Tom Brevoort's Avengers, and I'm sorry, Jason Aaron's Avengers edited by Tom Brevoort, and then you have Brian Michael Bendis's Avengers right after Disassembled. You remember that breakout story?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was like prime Avengers for the most part, as far as modern comics goes. I mean, can you even compare the two? I mean,
there's a difference though.
Okay. I agree. Let's cut to the chase though. Which was which was better? Like which do you think was like significantly better?
Well, the difference is Bendis made a big Bendis made a huge name for himself because of what he did in Avengers Disassembled. And so
right.
I wasn't reading comics or growing up. Well, I mean, I was 5 years old when that came out. But looking back, I do not like the story at all when I go back and read it. But it's a different era. It's weird to look at and compare the two, because Jason Aaron didn't start like how Bendis did, by literally taking all the, like, he's, I hear him say this in interviews all the time, like, breaking all the toys that are in the toy box and then reassembling into making Avengers as a prime team again. Jason Aaron, he was just coming back. He was just starting his own Avengers saga without anything. I mean, Avengers is already a household name now. And so he kind of just did what he likes doing, and that's just going as big as possible. And granted, the execution might not have been to everybody's liking, because I like Jason Aaron as a writer. I think the problem with him as a writer at times, though, he's has these big, powerful ideas, but sometimes his execution can't, or like the path and process of getting there isn't as structurally sound as it should have been.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
I don't know if I answered your question.
No. I mean, you did. And I'm not crapping on you for liking Jason Aaron's Avengers. I thought it was so bad.
It could have been better. I mean, it's an unfortunate way for him to leave.
It is. And it seems like he's maybe taking a break from Marvel now and focusing on indie work, which I think is good for him.
He's got a Batman book coming out. And
is it a limited or a one shot or
I think it's limited. It's with Doug Mumke and I don't know the entire story.
You're gonna read it
a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Oh, do you want me to read it?
No, I mean, are you gonna read it? You don't have to like read the solicitation.
Oh, I thought you meant to read this. Oh, yeah, of course I am.
yeah. He's not someone like Chip Zdarsky. I'll follow.
Mm-hmm. Have you read any of Zdarsky's like indie stuff or anything?
I haven't.
Got some great books.
I've heard but, they're like, unbelievable.
Books, it's so cool with Zdarsky though, because he has books on every genre. Like the Comixology stuff, you had like All-Nighter and Afterlift, and then like with Image you have Public Domain and New Burn, but like Public Domain's like a real life sort of deal about copyright issues, and then you have New Burn that's like a grounded noir stuff, and then Captara came back, which is like comedy sci-fi or sex criminals, that's like something else entirely.
Yeah,
but it's so cool, a writer that can do that, you know.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I really value everything that Jason Aaron brought to a landscape. I mean, his Wolverine was great. I don't know if you've read that. Wolverine
Goes
to Hell.
I actually read that last summer or
that's one of my favorite events, honestly. Wolverine Goes to Hell. Oh, so good.
Yeah. For some reason, I like whenever you look up like really good Wolverine books to read or start with, that's very rarely referenced, you know?
Dude, I'm really glad you said that, because I completely agree. It was such an emotional story, too. For those of you who are listening, Wolverine Goes to Hell, it was it was kind of not long. It was probably like 12 or 13 issues, 11 to 13 issues.
Because it like started with a renumbered series of Wolverine.
It did. It started with a number one, though.
Yeah. Because he did.
Right. Yeah,
because he also had a series that was like Wolverine Weapon X or something too.
Yeah, and it was like okay, but he really brought it with this. It had a tie.
But it was all continued. Sorry.
Yes. Yeah, all continued. No, you're fine. Yeah, it had three issues with Dokken, three issues with X-23, and then like 11 or 12 issues of Wolverine. And it's just a very emotional. I consider it one of the most emotional stories about, you know, I won't get too much into it, but like his kids. Mm-hmm. Who they are, who's trying to break him. It was almost like the Court of Owls in a sense, you know, like you have all these people behind a screen just wanting to watch Wolverine break, and they break him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it ends with literally the story's so messed up. It ends with him just like trying to commit suicide. And it's just a crazy, crazy dark story. I really recommend everybody read it, but I'm really glad to hear you say that, because I thought that was such compelling work. And then I compare
one of his first works too.
One of his first works, and same with the God Butcher and God Bomb. Oh my gosh, that
his
is Ghost one
Rider
of,
is pretty strong too.
I need to read that. But God Butcher and God Bomb is my favorite story of all time at Marvel. It's my favorite. I look at that and then
Art too.
Oh God, he's so good. He's so good. He's so good. Where I was going with this is that, and then I look at Jason Aaron, and it's never a good sign when I look at a writer and I say, how did you write this? And then how are you writing a Saturday morning cartoon Avengers comic?
That's what I like about it, though.
Right.
I love superheroes fighting and stuff, and I think it's one of those things, and I've seen it multiple times. It's like, granted, Hickman wrote Avengers from 2012, 2015. Jason Aaron didn't take it up until 2018. But, like, everyone always wants to compare stuff to, like, when Hickman was there. Like, Fantastic Four hasn't been great since Hickman was there. Avengers hasn't been great since Hickman's been there. And so it almost seems like, I feel like I've heard that a million times before.
Yeah.
Without,
and I have to.
Fans, unfortunately, not giving writers a chance because it's, but like, if it's not your book, it's not your book. I'm not going to.
No, I get what you're saying.
Everyone's.
Dude, trust me. No, you're a very reasonable person. I get what you're saying. And I'm glad you said that. But I hear that a lot. And sometimes I even find myself saying it. Like, I don't know if you read Deadpool's latest series. It only made it to 10 issues.
Yeah, by Alyssa Wong. I actually thought she did a great job with that.
It had some good comedic hits for sure. Like, there's like four or five times where I was like, oh man, that is so funny. Like, that is so funny. Really well done, well written. It only lasted 10 issues, and I keep finding myself being like, damn, Jerry Dugan's Deadpool what ended in 2018, maybe?
Well, him and Brian, I can't remember that guy's name, but I mean, they were writing that since 2012 too.
Yeah.
But it's weird though, because
because
the Deadpool used to be like one of the, but you don't ever see long runs like that anymore.
No.
Unless they're like household names. If they're like, right. Spider-Man, who's at issue 34 right now,
yep.
Tomorrow. And,
yeah.
Avengers with Jason Aaron, I mean, that went to 68 and practically probably almost 100 with,
yeah, practically 100
and whatnot.
100%. Yep.
But like, Marvel loves those number ones. And I think they do that with Deadpool pretty frequently. Cause I mean, Scotty Young had one that was only 16 issues.
Yeah. Yeah. With Nick Klein.
Kelly Thompson had one was, yep. 10 issues, which I love that last issue because you could tell she's pissed about it.
She was so pissed. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Marvel just said, print it, whatever. Yeah, that was funny. But
like, it's unfortunate because I feel like with Deadpool, they were like, if we do number one, it'll sell well. And hell, they'll probably do it with like Deadpool 3 or or something.
Yes. Yeah. And they'll probably put someone with a big name on it and it'll probably hopefully last. As far as comics right now,
enough, though.
What?
How much MCU influences
Marvel comics. Oh my gosh, it's painful. It's painful. That's another thing I was like, that just annoyed me about Jason Aaron's Avengers, all multiverse stuff. I have my box here with like current comics. Mm-hmm. If you look at it, the story breakdowns, I was just doing this like the other day. It's just so much multiverse stuff. You have Venomverse, Death of Venomverse going on right now, multiverse.
Stupid.
You have, you have that Avengers multi. Oh, there's so many things in here. I could just be like, it's so oversaturated. And Kang too. I feel like all of a sudden Kang is like at the forefront of like every single story now. If there's one title I would tell people to read right now, I think that's really good. It's Hulk.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. I think Hulk is really good. Very strong.
By Philip Kennedy Johnson.
Yeah. I knew he was going to hit a home run.
Johnson. Dude, all-star writer coming up.
I
love that man. I've interviewed him. He is such a kind and welcoming man. He really cares about all the characters and stories that he's writing. That's why his Superman is so good.
Yeah.
Today he had a Green Lantern War Journal that features John Stewart that is so good, and it like is like
he
a
just
good
gets the characters.
He does.
Yeah, he just gets them. Like,
well, what's great about Hulk too is, like Donny Cates was. I like Donny Cates's Hulk because I just loved how bombastic it was. But I understand the faults and why people
didn't like it
is because it was sorry, I had a text. Because of how drastically different it was, and it wasn't a good continuation of Immortal Hulk, which I think turned people
Yeah, it was a completely different angle. And
which is ambitious. I'm actually pretty proud that he did that because, because what he did is he played to his own strengths and was able to do it. I mean, the unfortunate thing is reality set in. And did you see what happened to Donny Cates or the news?
I did. Yeah. For anyone listening, I guess I'll go ahead. I'll say it. Donny Cates first. The order of events was he got into a divorce with his wife, his current wife. So this is his second divorce. For those of you that don't know, Donny Cates is very open about his first divorce, where his wife, they divorced and he like kind of lost it, and comics was his only thing. So he really just sort of fell to it, and he looked up to so many people to help him out of that. And then he eventually got out, he remarried some girl, and then she left him, they divorced, and now he got into like a huge car accident and he really injured himself to the point where he had to like step away from titles. Something like this I don't think has ever really happened in comics. And so that's what's going on now. We don't know when he'll be back, which sucks because he brought over Greg Capullo as well. And it looked like they were going to do something together. So I don't know. His plans change, but Donnie is also writing his own indie book, and that kind of went downhill as well. Stegman took that over. He's a mess right now. I'm a huge Donny Cates fan. When he writes, I buy. I don't like his like online personas at all, to be honest with you. But
online persona? Oh, just like how he
like his Twitter and his podcast. Okay. He says some stuff sometimes, and I'm like, oh, why would you say this? Yeah, I wish him a speedy recovery, and I hope he gets back to comics soon.
I don't remember what I was talking about, but
yeah, I don't either. Yeah, I don't know how we got there, but
no, I hope Donny Cates recovers super fast too, because I mean he's a very talented writer, and
very unfortunate. Are you enjoying Miles Morales?
Yeah, I'm really happy that they brought in Cody Ziegler. I think he's another up and coming
writer. I do too. He's so strong. He's so strong with his writing.
Mm-hmm. Did you read his Spider-Punk that came out a year or two ago?
But oh my gosh, critics and fans loved it.
Very good. Great art by Justin Mason as well. And
yeah.
It was just a really fun book. I loved how he also he also made a Spotify playlist called Spider Punk, which I ended up following. I love punk music, so
okay,
it was
cool.
A delight to read, or yeah. Delight to read and delight to listen.
Yeah,
to.
That's really cool. That's really cool.
It's unfortunate where the Spider Office is now, because it doesn't seem there's any sort of direction anywhere. I mean,
yeah.
I have my gripes, and I'm enjoying. Zeb Wells is Spider-Man. It's a lot of action. It's a lot of great art. It can be fun at times, but like I've never read something so fucking uneven. And then you have the symbiote stuff and Miles Morales. Like I'm enjoying Miles Morales, but like it got tied into the Venom, the like Reign of Carnage or Carnage Reigns or whatever. And then it's going to have like two or three issues, and then it's gonna go into the Amazing Spider-Man event, which is Gang War, which
I'm pretty excited about that, to be honest. I'm pretty excited.
I mean, that is where Zeb Wells' strength sort of is with the Spider-Man stuff, is when it's grounded in street level gang war stuff. If it's, I mean, don't get me started with the Miss Marvel crap. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
But I mean, the current arc's actually kind of fun with Spider-Man's first hunt or whatever. It's like a cool role reversal take of Kraven's last hunt. I mean, it's probably not everybody's cup of tea, but I'm having fun.
Yeah. I know. I agree. I actually kind of liked that. I've been liking Spider-Man more and more, and I think it's just because everything's been answered. I didn't like that he made us wait like 6 months for everything to come out and be answered.
I really don't think there was any direction. I could see editorial telling him to do that.
And yeah.
Like the whole Miss Marvel thing, like there's interviews of him saying like, oh yeah, this was my idea. But like, I think it was sort of along the
line. Yeah, come on.
Well, I think it was Marvel saying, do this, like come up with an idea to do this.
Yes. So it's fun you say that. And I've actually, anyone listening who's heard my past podcast with guests, I've asked Kelly Thompson and I asked Jordan D. White, and I was like, do you guys get something from the top saying do this because it's going to happen in the Marvel movies? And they both swore that that's not true. And it just cannot be. That cannot be the truth.
Especially with this Ms. Marvel stuff, there's no way that's not true.
There's no way. And dude, watch in the MCU, or I'm sorry, in the comics, Ms. Marvel's mutation, her mutant ability is going to be what it is basically in the show and movie. Watch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like there's no surprise. I don't know. We could go on and on about that. I fully believe that someone from the top is saying do this. And do that and do this and do that. So I don't know. We'll see kind of where that goes. But overall, I think I still am enjoying things coming out. But I think.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I do think that in like 2 years from now, I'll be like looking back. I do this thing because time moves so quick now. I do this thing where I look back at comics that came out like 2 years ago and I'm like, wow, I really didn't enjoy that as much as I thought. Like you just mentioned Ryan Ottley and Donnie Cates as Hulk. I was liking that coming out. But now that I kind of look back on it, I'm like, yeah, it was good, but I was raving about it. But now that it's set in, I don't think I loved it that much. And I think that is sort of what's gonna happen at this juncture in the Marvel landscape when I look back in 2 years and I'm like, huh, okay, yeah, this... Yeah,
I could see that. Well, because I feel like when we look back like 2, 3, whatever years from now,
right,
we're going to look back and go like, that was a giant mess.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, too, because it is a pretty big mess. But, you know, we'll still be here reading. We're here to catch you guys up. I say
if you want to read something good, look at DC. DC's really... Yeah. Taking big swings, especially if they're limited series and everything. Marvel, I'm still reading Marvel, but they do not have any guidance whatsoever. But I feel like DC, I mean, they have Mark Waid right now. Read whatever Mark Waid and Dan Moore are doing.
Yep, put him on. Even his Shazam is probably going to be awesome. I'll probably get that in the trade. I almost got it when it was coming out, but unfortunately due to like... costs and stuff, both comic shops in my town, luckily I have two in my town, which is pretty unheard of, they both went from 20% new subscriber listings to 10%. So I was like, I kind of should slow down a little bit, so I decided not to get it, but that's okay, I'll get it when it comes out. It all kind of comes around. The last thing I wanted to ask you too is Green Lantern as good as everyone says?
I'm not the biggest Green Lantern fan, and I'm enjoying it.
Wow. Okay. I thought you were going to say no. So you're liking, I mean, I've just heard everybody from critics to fans to like basic readers.
It is very good. I don't like Hal Jordan as a character, but Jeremy Adams has really made a name for himself with his Flash run with Wally West. And I love that from beginning to end. And I truly think his Green Lantern is doing a solid job. The issue that came out last week, which I think was issue three, I believe, was just totally won me over.
Wow, really? And you know what else DC has? Mike Deodato Jr. Sneaky comeback for him back to mainstream. Big two.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to him and Cy Spurrier's Flash. I'm a huge fan of Cy Spurrier. So
I'm not a fan.
He has a very particular writing that I think is not the everyday comic book reader's style. Yeah. Yeah, his writing style is very. It's a lot, I think.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot, and
it's a lot for me too. So that's why, it's hard for me to fully grasp too. But I'm looking forward to the Flash, though.
All right, so you nailed it. That's the thing about Cy Spurrier for me. I'm just like, dude, what are you writing? It's issue 7. I don't know what's going on. What is the purpose of this person? It's kind of like you have to take notes, right? And it's just like, it's just not interesting enough.
Like you don't want to do home. Like, you
right.
Do
like, home like Hickman's it. Avengers, you need to take notes on that when you're reading. You need to remember everything. It is very complex and intricate, but like it was worth doing so. Cy Spurrier's work, I'm just like, I don't think I care this much. I don't. The whole time I was like, someone save Nightcrawler from this book. Like,
well, he has Uncanny Spider-Man, I think, coming out tomorrow.
Yeah, five issue limited. We'll see how that looks very strange, but as long as it's a limited.
It's a very interesting approach.
Getting a lot of hate, and it hasn't even come out yet. Like, it's getting so much hate.
I hate when stuff happens like that.
Yeah, me too.
Be a little more open-minded.
I hate it when it comes out and it's finished. Like, it just wait, you know? Like, I don't know. People are just hating on it, but. You know what? I don't blame them that much because I think the quality could be a little better from Marvel right now. I think it could be a tiny bit better. So I think people are just maybe skeptical right now. You know, I let's read it and see where it goes. I'm glad you're excited for his Flash. Let me know how that goes. Shoot me a note every now and then. Just let me know how you're liking it. It comes out soon. What, a couple weeks?
Next week.
Next week. So we're filming this on 9/19. Is that tomorrow or like next week? Wednesday.
It's next Wednesday.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. So, Cole, any lasting thoughts? Anything before we part ways? I've really enjoyed this comic chat. I always love coming on with you. You always have some. You're not streamlined. You have some hot takes. I always love that about you. Anything else before we wrap up?
Just thank you so much for listening to my hot takes, and thank you so much for having me on. Seriously. If anybody ever wants to talk about comics, I'm at Masters of Comic Books on Instagram, and I just love discussing about comics, and I don't care what your opinion is, whether you hate everything I like or I don't like what you like. I honestly love just having conversations with people about comics. So, and I have a huge passion for them, as you can tell. But thank you so much for having me on. Seriously, it's so great to hear from you.
Yeah, same, Cole. I really value our friendship and stuff on online, and love having you on. So, guys, thank you so much for listening, everybody. I know we took a break from podcasting. We'll be back weekly. Cole, I'm really glad to have you kind of kick it off with some comic talk. Normally, everyone, we kind of come in with an agenda. I kind of like just freeforming it with you, honestly, dude. And
that's usually what Paul and I do. We're like, yeah. Is there anything you want to talk about? Let's talk about this, and then we just put down like the topic of discussion, and then we just go for like 2 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Especially now, because there's not much movie or comic news with the strikes going on, so there's not that much to talk about. But for everybody listening, surely that will change soon. Hopefully the strikes end on good terms, and both parties can leave somewhat happy, and we can start talking about that stuff more. But for now, we'll keep it comic-centric. We'll talk about news when it comes out. Cole, hope to have you back soon. And everybody listening, thank you so much for coming back, sticking with us. Can't wait to give you weekly content. If you're new here, please give us a follow at Geekable_podcast, where we're constantly posting about movie news, comic news, geek-related news, anything like that. That's your one-stop shop for all that good stuff. And same with Cole's page at Masters of Comic Books. So thank you, Cole, again. And thank you for everybody listening. Cole, we'll see you soon.